We are back with another AmeriCorps alum. I am so excited to be sitting down with, and which it's been a while. We connected like I think in the at the end of 2023. So I'm really glad that we finally found some time to sit down and chat and learn about everything that you're up to. So before we get started, I want to just introduce myself. My name is Nikki Fiacco, and I am the brainchild behind AmeriCorps Connections. And just to recap a little bit about like how this podcast came about, I've been in the AmeriCorps space, the national service space, for over a decade. And my passion is really connecting folks. And as I started to move up in the ranks of national service, from program director to executive director of state service commissions in Maryland and South Carolina, not at the same time, folks, not at the same time, each different times, I really wanted to connect with AmeriCorps alums. And it just seemed like there was something missing in this space. So I just decided that I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to have AmeriCorps alumni on here. I'm going to find out what they're up to and reflect on their service year. And so that's what we do every week. We have an opportunity to meet a new AmeriCorps alum, listen to their story. Everybody's scattered all over the country, all over the world. It's just really exciting. And you know, when you find your passion and you find something that you're interested in, this it just I want to continue this work forever and ever. So I hope that you find some value in this podcast. And even if you're not an AmeriCorps alum, that you find some type of intrinsic value about service and volunteerism and connection. I do have two announcements. I just want to acknowledge two folks that make this podcast possible. So first, I'm really excited to talk about the Do Good, Be Good group, who are supporting me on production and marketing of this podcast, which was not something that was on my mind. So they're starting to do a lot of the behind the scenes editing work so that I can focus on what I do best, which is finding amazing people like Anton and also having conversations. And of course, I want to thank so much Dan Medivier, who is the first AmeriCorps alum to step up and actually host this podcast on his platforms. And that's why you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on all the areas that you and platforms that you can download, and also YouTube. And if you're watching this on YouTube, definitely subscribe and like and share. It makes a difference in the algorithms. So I appreciate it. And just to touch back on Do Good, Be Good, they provide training for AmeriCorps programs and they are staffed by AmeriCorps alums. So that is a bonus. Let's get right into the meat of it. We're super excited. I'm so happy to have you here. And let's just start off with like your AmeriCorps journey. I like to liken it to the hero's journey. Like, what was it that was the call to action? What was something, where did your journey begin with AmeriCorps?
Oh, well, thank you, one, for having me on today. Really excited to talk about my AmeriCorps journey. And I think I'm in a season of reflection, and this is definitely a great time to just think back on my journey. And I think beyond AmeriCorps, I sort of grew up in a family that was very service oriented. And I feel that that was really instilled in me the idea of giving back to something greater than yourself. And AmeriCorps really kind of aligned with those values that were instilled in me as a young man growing up in the city of Detroit. And during a very pivotal phase in my life, I was, word of mouth is so important. I was kind of told by my now brother-in-law that it was such a really cool program that I think you should look into. I see all of these red jackets across the city. But initially, Nikki, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's for me. I'm trying to find my own path, but ultimately figured I would sort of give it a look. And it really sort of aligned with where I was at that particular point in life, looking for something that continued to sort of challenge me and push me to become a better person. But also, being a fellow Detroiter, and if you know anyone from Detroit, we have a huge passion for the city. So it was really something that allowed for me to play an integral part in being something positive for those in the community that which I grew up in. So that's kind of how I found out about AmeriCorps, and it's sort of the start of my journey is my brother-in-law saying, I think it's a cool program you should try. Put my name in the hat, and 10 plus years later, I'm still around AmeriCorps.
Was he your brother-in-law when you served?
No, now my now brother-in-law.
Oh
So
my gosh,
at
this is
that
that's so like the oh, I can't wait to get to like that part of the story too. That's crazy. And I lived in Michigan for I think like seven years. Both my children were born in Michigan and my son lives in Michigan now too. So shout
Awesome,
out
awesome.
to Detroit.
So you know about that Detroit pride. It's something that's just intrinsic with all of us from Detroit. So I think that was a huge spark to me wanting to give back in that way.
Yeah, and so that was City Year, right? The Red Jacket?
Yep, so I served with City Year. I'm really bad with dates, but more recently I've gotten a little bit more accustomed to when was the sort of starting point? So 07, 08 is when I served. I've been, over the past couple of weeks, had an opportunity to do an interview with members of the City Year team to just talk about that experience, which has also been a part of this sort of reflective phase that I'm in. So yeah, 07, 08, I served with City Year Detroit. And one of the really cool things about it, Nikki, is that I was actually able to serve in the community in which I grew up in, which was, I just was unbelievable, quite frankly. Like, the school was Detroit Lions Academy. Those who know me, I'm a huge sports fan. Detroit Lions through and through. It's been a great year for the Lions, for those who are for Detroiters. So to be able to serve.
Such a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker. So before we started hitting record, you were like, is this going to be a conversation? I'm like, I'm just going to keep interrupting you. But like, so I'm in Maryland. So I was like, Ravens. Detroit, this is going to be the best Super Bowl ever. And then both teams were like, and I, to be honest with you, I watched the halftime show. I didn't even watch the whole game. I just was like, not my thing.
So many people say that. Like, I know everyone was pulling for a Detroit Baltimore Super Bowl and we were this close to it. But yeah, so that really seemed to be great to be at Detroit Lions Academy. And as a Detroit Lions fan, through the good and the bad, Nikki, like, even when we were bad, I was still a Detroit Lions fan. So that was really interesting for me, one, to be in my community, but also to be at a school that's named after a sports team that I grew up idolizing, which was really cool.
So in the school, what did you do? Because I think City Year's mentoring, is that what you did?
A big component of it, which has been a consistent part of my career in this nonprofit sector, is education-based work. As an AmeriCorps member, I had an opportunity both to work with students one-on-one, focusing on both math and literacy, but also having a chance to be a positive mentor in the school, which for me seemed to be one of the most impactful components of being an AmeriCorps member. I can vividly remember, you know, countless young men that I worked with during my time there who oftentimes confided in me in ways in which they may not have been comfortable doing in other settings. So to see someone who may have a similar experience to them, who's making a commitment to sort of pour into them in ways that they may not get in various different ways was something that was powerful for me. So I've helped students, whether that was just being an open ear when they were going through challenging moments, or just kind of sitting down and looking at some of the things that they need to do academically and supporting as I could. So that's sort of what I did as an AmeriCorps member. It's just sort of being a consistent presence for young people.
So how did you develop the skill of connection with people and recognizing when they wanted advice and when they just wanted a listening ear? Was that something that City Year helped you learn, or was that something that like kind of is intrinsically inside of you?
I think I'm just naturally a listener. So I feel that in some ways it was just sort of part of my makeup. I think a lot of ways I often try to put myself in the shoes of other people I'm interacting with. So I knew as a young person, it was really instrumental for me to have those role models and people who saw things that I maybe didn't see at that moment to just give me a space to be a young man, to have those points where I may not be at my best, but also highlight when I'm at my best. So I just kind of wanted to model what I was able to experience growing up, but then also just kind of following your gut. I know we also talk about following your gut. So I just every day showed up and said, I'm going to bring my best self and sort of follow my gut. It wasn't always roses. Sometimes there were some times where students looked at me a little sideways. But for the most part, I think I gained trust, both of the students, but also my peers that I was able to serve with, which was one of the most valuable parts of my AmeriCorps experience, the networks that you were able to create.
Can you speak a little bit to that? Because that is something that is behind this podcast as well, is bringing this AmeriCorps alumni connections and network together, and for folks to realize how strong we are as an alumni and how many of us, you know, I was at a site supervisor training earlier today in my 9-to-5, and there were a couple site supervisors that had never supervised an AmeriCorps member before. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, curious and worried about like attracting somebody to the service arena. And one of the things that I pointed out to them was there is your service opportunity, but there's this massive alumni group that somebody who finishes a service year is now a part of. And what's so cool is it's including VISTA, NCCC, State and National, City Year, Teach for America. We're all AmeriCorps alums and we all want to support each other. So you feel that like in your cohort during your service year. I certainly did during my service year. So can you speak a little bit to like how that was, if you can recall, like, right? Like sometimes what did I do during my service year? Who was in my cohort? But what did that feel like with the network?
It was, the word that's coming to mind, it was just a refreshing experience to particularly be around those who have a like-minded commitment to something that is positive. And I think we all come from different walks of life. And what was really unique about the City Year experience is that throughout the day, but even beyond the day, we really had this interconnection between our experience, but also a common language and culture that's developed through being an AmeriCorps alum. So that's something that even now, 10 plus years beyond that experience, I still sort of draw back on some of those cultural things that are sort of infused in AmeriCorps, that idea of being idealistic. And I think that's one of the things that really stood out to me and drew connection with my cohort is that despite the good and the bad, we always showed up each day with a level of enthusiasm and understanding that this is a stepping stone to both help us, but also help the communities we're serving in.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, the language that we use within our cohort, and you know, it makes such a difference. I wanted to just reflect really fast during your service year, if you recall a time where you really saw like a spark in a student's eye or somebody that you were working, one of the students that you're working with, either a spark. I remember distinctively, I'm just going to share a quick story that I don't think I've ever shared on the podcast, but I was coordinating a volunteer project and this kid was dropped off. It was at a park. So there was like removing invasive species and this kind of stuff. And like, manual labor that we all had to do. Mm-hmm. And it was like in January, so it was cold and it wasn't the best, like the funnest thing. But so this kid was dropped off by his grandmother, and he was not happy. Like his hair was all in his face and he was real quiet. And he was like, oh, you can tell he didn't want to be here. And his grandmother told me he was here for community service. I can't remember why specifically, but you know, I gave him his space and then we started working on the projects. And then, you know, he kind of picked his hair up and he put it up, so it was out of his face. And then he started talking to other volunteers, and actually the other volunteers that he was engaging with were the older, more seasoned volunteers. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he was moving the wood from over here to over here, and he had the most invasive species. Like he just got so excited. He was the last one to leave that project. And he said to me, Miss Nikki, if there's ever a project that you need help with, you make sure you call me. I want to do this. And I was like, holy crap. Like this is making a difference in people. Like this kid came in to this service project hating life. It was just like, why am I here? It's like January on the East Coast, and now I have to do work outside. Like, and he left with a completely different perspective. So can you speak of a time maybe where you remember, like recall something where a student, where you were like, get it?
There are several examples. I think one that comes to mind is Detroit Lions Academy was considered quote unquote an alternative school. Often when kids who sort of ran their course at quote unquote traditional schools, they were sent to Detroit Lions Academy. And I think that meeting students where they are, kids where they are, is so important. And for me, one of the things that always inspired me was the idea of sports. And I, during this particular time, the Detroit Pistons were on a pretty significant run and the kids were really into Detroit Pistons. So I'm a part of reading. I made it an effort to make sure that I brought the newspaper. This was during a time when the newspapers were being read. So I would bring the newspaper and I would sit with the kids and we would read the highlights from what happened that night or whatever was going on in sports. And oftentimes when people will come into sort of our space, they would sort of give a little bit of a side eye, like this doesn't seem to be curriculum based. But I can always remember one, the kids looking forward to being in that space just to have some time to one, look at sports, but also there was some learning that was taking place, being able to to understand and read through what was taking place there. And we often would talk about it and support with words they may stumble on, and et cetera. So one, just the enthusiasm of the young people. And I also just always stood with me is that we can sort of have our ideals of how to bring a person along, but sometimes you have to kind of take a step back and meet people where they are. So I think that's one that sort of stood out to me. And another is, I guess, another sports analogy. I knew that young people love basketball, and we were trying to get young people to come for our after-school program. So we devised what we call the battle of the classes, but it required for students to stay after school for academic support. And I can remember the principal at that time just really looking, this is not going to work. I don't think these kids are going to come after school. But it got to a point where they were like sort of begging to stay after school so they could be a part of the battle of the classes. So for me, it just, again, showed that we have a huge responsibility as adults to create safe spaces for young people. And despite what we may assume are the ills of their community, if we create spaces for them, they'll often opt in. So that was, you know, really powerful for me from a student standpoint. And I'll say, as an AmeriCorps member myself, what really stood out to me and sort of allowed me to understand where I was going as a young professional is, as you know, MLK Day is a day on, not a day off in the AmeriCorps community. And as an AmeriCorps member, I was given an opportunity to host and sort of lead our MLK Day. We had hundreds of volunteers. I was able to sort of speak during the event. And that was really confidence building for me and saying that an organization would trust in me to move this work forward. But also I just kind of felt comfortable leading in that way. And I think from that, it was a great starting point for me to continue to grow and opt in a leadership opportunity. So those are a couple of different things. I went on a little bit of tangent there, but I figured I'll just kind of give a few examples.
Yeah, no, this is your time. So go on as many tangents as you want. But I think something that's important, and it's really a through line in all of the conversations that I've had, I think, is that like all of a sudden during our service year, we develop a skill or we find that we're really good at something during our service year. And then we're able to like double down on that. It's kind of, you know, it's like a trial period of us. Like for me, it was connections, you know, and now I have the AmeriCorps Connections podcast, had no idea, but like, for me, it was like navigating through this space of like, we need a volunteer project. We need volunteers. We have a volunteer project. Where are the volunteers? We have volunteers. Where's the volunteer project? And so it was like figuring out that connections. And then I was able to build that out during my service year. And it just created my skills later on in life. And I think it's just so amazing. I appreciate folks that are able to meet young folks where they are, because there's so many things that are going on in their life that we just don't know about. And so if we can sit down with them and, like you said, create safe space, it's huge. It's massive. And the transformation that you went through after your service year, did you do 1 year of service or did you do multiple years?
I did 1 year of service. And I think what also I consider unique about my AmeriCorps experience is that particular program that I serve with, there's sort of a 17 to 24 year old sort of age range. And I was on the latter end of that stage. I was actually 24 during that time. And I'm a new parent during that time. So for me, it was really a reset in a lot of ways, but also an opportunity to, as I guess one of the elder statements of the Corps, to really sort of step into a leadership opportunity amongst those who are, I would consider, my peers. So really learned a lot about myself. It was really a unique experience. And it's one that, again, I'll say this really has been it's been a snowball since my AmeriCorps term, is continuing to, one, identify ways to improve as a professional, but also ways to make sure service is at the root of all things that I do.
Yeah. I had an interview with Shannon Stober, and she said, she likes to joke and say, I answered the call of service and then I never hung up.
Like, I think that's a good way to say it. Like I'm still on the line.
Yeah. Sure. I also just want to like highlight too how you said that your service year was a reset. You know, I think that AmeriCorps history is being sort of this young opportunity for folks to go in and kind of feel things out and serve in the community. I mean, I was like 34 years old when I did my AmeriCorps service year, and it completely changed my life. It totally changed my life. It started my professional life, and it just really changed. And so I think to your point of like, if you need a reset, take a service year, right? Like, because you're not just sitting there contemplating, you're doing the work and you're discovering things about yourself. I think that's just, it's huge. And you can do it at any time.
As we talked about, Nikki, is that it's, you know, really a great opportunity to learn more about yourself as a professional. And one of the things that really stands out is that it's an opportunity to, one, expand your network and maybe have access to an audience that you may not have access to in other different, you know, experiences. So it's really a chance to, one, build that community, but also be strategic about putting the pieces in place to help you along your personal path. So I think at whatever stage you are in your life, it's a great chance to take a step back, reflect, and it's just, we're using the term reset, and it's kind of pivot and see what's sort of next in your career. And maybe you'll still be on the phone with us with services we talked about.
No kidding. I think we need to develop an NCCC programs for people that are not within that age range. Cause the more and more NCCC folks that I interview, I'm like, that sounds so cool. Like, maybe, I don't know, think about it. So after your service year, what grabbed you after that? Where did you end up landing, and how did your path move?
So from my service year, I think as I started the podcast, I really grew up under the idea of service. And I was, my parents ran a community center in the city of Detroit for 40 plus years. So I think from that, like many of us growing up, you sort of say, I'm no way I'm doing what my parents are going to do. I'm taking a different path. And I kind of took that to the extreme in some ways. So after my term of service, I think it one dawned on me that this is maybe natural to me and something I enjoy. So following that, I really helped with my father develop a summer program. And it was based on a relationship I developed as a member of City of Detroit. We were able to get funding at the then time, Mayor Dave Bing, who supported a youth program. We put on a summer program for young people that really was focused on entrepreneurship. Three different tiers. Each young person worked on a business plan. They did community service. And then they also interned at a local business. So did that for about a year and a half. And at that point, decided to make a pivot. And we talk about your AmeriCorps network. I think, as you know, it's sometimes not what you know, but who you know. And as I was looking to find out what was next due to some budgetary issues, reached out to a peer of mine that I served with. And at that time, she was with City Year in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm a Detroiter. And she said, I think there's an opportunity here in Baton Rouge. And I thought about it, pondered it, definitely had some family dynamics to think through, but ultimately made the decision to move to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and serve as a program manager. And I think that was such an eye-opening experience for me, because it really showcased that in communities across the country, particularly when we talk about Black and Brown communities, we see some of the same pain points. And for me to be able to move to a very new community that I had no previous knowledge about were in depth, to see some of the same things that showed up in Detroit public schools show up in Baton Rouge public schools was really an eye-opening experience for me, but also sort of lit a fire in me to say that not only in the here and now, but long-term, I want to play my part in trying to help to change things around, whatever that may look like. So went on to be a program manager for a year and then made some additional steps to now be in a more of a talent HR related type of support.
In your role that you are now, you're in
the HR. Role that I'm in now. Yep. So I'm now on the talent and equity is sort of the scope of the work. That's a little bit of what may be traditional HR talent, bringing people into the organization, but also helping with, I'm currently working with Reading Partners, again, another education-based nonprofit that's really committed to understanding that literacy is not only the focus, but it's a social justice issue, which I'm so proud to be a part of an organization that's committed in that way. And now my work is more around helping identify talent that understands that commitment and have the same passion around service. That's sort of the root of our program.
If somebody wanted to be active in that arena of, you know, breaking down the structures and bringing in the equality, what would you suggest that they do? What's a small thing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to eat an elephant. I think there needs to be another like analogy, but they say eat the elephant one bite at a time. I don't want to eat an elephant, but you know, like the issue is so big and I feel like people get like, I just can't. Like, what's a small step?
I think one is really mindset, understanding that we're all on a journey. And when this journey, we're all at individual places as we think about understanding of one of who we are and also being mindful of the abundance of experiences that we all bring to the multitude of spaces that we're in. So I think one is just internally understanding that there's no right or wrong. This is a journey that we're all on, and that every step that you take, hopefully in a positive direction, is something that's helping to make things better. So I think that's what you start with. And but then also really being honest with yourself and seeing, are you really taking an effort to bring in diverse perspectives? What information are you taking in? How are you having conversations with? Are you really doing the work? Because it's going to take work from all of us to be able to understand the uniqueness of that we all sort of bring to our various spaces. So that would be my recommendation, just to kind of get started. Yeah. And I know there are a lot of tangible resources that are available, but it all starts with us doing the work. It all starts with doing the work.
Yeah, I oftentimes don't say that I don't talk about the podcast that I listen to because everybody's going to think I'm a conspiracy theorist and some esoteric crazy person that's trying to start a cult or something. But it always goes back to the internal work, because we cannot change anything until we change ourselves. And what's crazy, and I've seen it in my own life, when you change yourself, your external changes, because you show up differently. You receive information differently. You vibrate at a different frequency, which brings people into your experience on a different level. And I think I saw some, I'm not going to get the quote right at all, but it was like, as you grow, you know, the dead weight just falls away, like naturally, right? Like when you show up and you've done the work and you've done the intrinsic work and you've thought about like, what are my perspectives? You just show up differently in life. And it's just refreshing to be with people that want to look at our experiences in the world as what hurts you hurts me, and what hurts the collective across the globe hurts me, what hurts the earth hurts me. And, you know, thinking about it collectively is just, I think it's so powerful. And just linking it back to AmeriCorps and the work that you're doing, when you're part of a cohort, and it's like being part of a team, right? Like I love sports, like soccer is the sport in our family. When we think about it as a collective and a cohort, it just feels different. Like it hit, we say in our family, it just hits different. It's just hitting you different, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel when you're sort of in a space that's collaborative, it really highlights for me the importance of the how. Of course, the outcomes are important, but how you get there is so important. I feel AmeriCorps really gives you an opportunity to be intentional about the how. We're all sort of starting off at a baseline. You're not making a lot of money. You're really at a very entry level in an organization. So we're starting with that baseline. And the thing that you can consistently rely on is, how do I show up each day? How do I approach whatever my service commitment is for that year? So I think that's the beauty of being a part of a team, is that it gives you that chance to be even more intentional than you may have been if you're kind of going at something solo.
Yeah. And that reflection, like at the end of the day, I love how you said how you show up every day. The reflection at the end of the day of like, how did I show up? Like, where were areas that I felt good about the way I showed up? And then journaling, like, why did I feel good about that? And then where were times that I didn't feel really great about the way I showed up? And then why? And then you wake up the next day and you do just 1% better, right? You just do a little bit better. You think about like, oh, you know, I interrupted that person, or I, you know, talked too long about whatever, and then just show up a little bit different. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, I think it's really that idea of, and the idea of being comfortable with those challenging moments. We're humans. We all have those bad days, and being comfortable, one, acknowledging that and sort of picking yourself up, for lack of better words. And like you mentioned, 1% better than the very next day, and just sort of being comfortable with that. And I feel so many times we're forced with this idea of perfectionism, and there's a lot of reasons why we're in. I could go on a tangent about that, but
let's do
I feel that, I feel that we individually say that we're just going to try to do our best and understand there's going to be some pain points and some bad days. And sometimes the institutions in place don't allow us to have that level of comfort to say that, you know, there's no need to be perfect. We're all moving towards something positive.
I remember when we all started to do the Zoom during the pandemic. And for me, it was like getting on the Zoom on time, making sure everything was, you know, da, 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 da. And now it's like, Space and grace, baby. Like space and grace. I give you the space to show up the way you need to be, and I give you grace. Funny story, and then I want to dive into like what the work that you're doing now and stuff that you want to talk about. Funny story. So I was in appointed as Governor Hogan's for managing the governor's office on service and volunteerism. So the commission. So I was in like a high level meeting with like secretaries, and there was a lot of things going on. And it was during the summer, and my daughter opened the door, and a bee came in, and I got stung by a wasp twice. And like, I had to go to the emergency room. My body started to like react to it. So I'm kind of like terrified of things that could sting me. So I put myself on mute, but I don't turn my camera off. And my daughter and I are running in the background trying to get the bee out of the room. And I come back and I'm like, you know, pull myself together. We got the bee, and everybody is dying laughing. And I was like, what's up? And they're like, you didn't turn the camera off, right?
And those are the great moments.
Yeah. And in the, like in that moment, my perfectionism for being on a Zoom call and being all like, I was like, all right, if I could act like a maniac in front of these people, then, you know, then God love us all. So yeah, it's true.
That is such a great story. That's
and funny. Sometimes like, I think it's our own like mindset, right? Our limited belief of, or not our limited belief, but like, I don't know what the word is, but we think we need to show up this way, you know, for other people. And I just feel like we're really moving towards like, no, you need to show up who you are because you're important.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel that it's definitely been a process for me. I think as a young professional, I always felt that there was a certain way that you needed to present yourself, particularly being a Black man and in a space where there's not a lot of Black men who are sort of present, whether in leadership or in a AmeriCorps role. So I sort of went through that process of feeling that there was a certain way I needed to present myself, a certain way that I needed to showcase my willingness and commitment to the work. And I feel that as I progressed as an individual, as the world has progressed, we're more and more leaning to a space where people, it's sort of demanded to be yourself and be authentic in that way. And if you're not, you're sort of looked at on the opposite side of things. So I'm glad the direction that we're going, and I'm fully embracing that and understanding that being your true self is the only way that we should sort of show up in spaces. So no, I definitely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you are. I want to make sure we touch on what you're up to. You talked about a couple side stuff, that passion projects that you're working on. Is there anything that you want to talk about in your current role, or do we want to roll into the stuff that you've been working on?
I think I'll be remiss not to talk about my current role, which I think is definitely an AmeriCorps rooted program. So I now work with Reading Partners, an education-based nonprofit that is serving communities across the country. Really, our focus is around helping to bridge the literacy gap. We really lean on the support of AmeriCorps members, a really great partnership with AmeriCorps members, community volunteers from all different walks of life who make a commitment to supporting the student one-on-one as we talk about literacy support, but also an organization that's committed to the idea that this is a social justice issue, that there's so many things institutionally that have gotten us to this point where so many students, particularly in Black and Brown communities, are so far behind as we talk about the literacy gap. So really appreciate being a part of an organization that has that front and center as a mission. Also being a part of an organization that has a very diverse set of leadership across the board and really leads in that way and making sure that diverse perspectives are brought into the decisions that we make that ultimately impacts our community. So I'm fortunate enough to be on our National Talent and Equity team as the Senior Manager of Talent and Equity. And day by day, I get a chance to work with countless people across the country who are passionate about literacy, who are passionate about their own development as professionals. And my role as part of the national team is both helping with some of our recruitment work, whether that's hiring folks and bringing them into the organization, or helping with some of our cultural elements, whether that's around people management, ensuring that we're always mindful that this is a space where we want to be equitable across the board, all things that we do. So that's sort of the work I'm doing now. And I think the foundation of that is AmeriCorps. So despite my work may not be directly tied to AmeriCorps, I think everything I do is always from an AmeriCorps lens. Even if I try to tell myself not to look at it from an AmeriCorps lens, I think having that experience really makes me ensure that I'm thinking of the equitable aspects of our work and understanding that what are some of the things that you endure as an AmeriCorps member, or not even as an AmeriCorps member, when you're sort of new as a professional. So I think it's really great that I can sort of bring that lens to my work on a day-to-day basis and have a space where I can really articulate and voice my experiences and how I think it may help our improve our work in some small or big ways.
So Radiant Partners, though, they do have AmeriCorps programs, if I'm right?
Yeah, so AmeriCorps members are a huge component of our program. They're leading reading centers across the country. And I'm sure, as you know, with the pandemic, many organizations had to make pivots in how they sort of implement their service. And I think that sparked innovation in our organization, where we now have virtual mediums to bring together both students and our tutors, and AmeriCorps members help to facilitate that in so many ways. So despite not being directly connected with AmeriCorps in the way that I was in previous roles, AmeriCorps is such a fundamental part of the organization that I currently work with. And in some small ways, I continue to work with some of our AmeriCorps work.
That's awesome. And you're in such a fantastic position with HR and talent management to be able to make the systems shifts that need to happen. I think that that's like super empowering.
Yeah, I think it's always cool to have those who I'll say have a little street cred when you talk about AmeriCorps, that you can really kind of talk about, because I've sort of been through that experience, whether it's on the member side, also from a staff standpoint, but also worked as a recruiter of AmeriCorps members. There was a time I visited campuses across the country to talk about AmeriCorps, to engage other young people to consider this as a pathway. So I think I have a lot of different ways and perspectives to look at AmeriCorps, and I try to bring that all into the decisions I make, whether it's directly correlated to AmeriCorps or is it not directly correlated to AmeriCorps. I think that's always front and center for me.
Yeah, fantastic. So that's your 9 to 5, and you also have other things that you're working on. Let's talk about these passion projects that have me up at 9 o'clock doing an interview with. I always tell people I have a 9 to 5, and then I have a 5 to 11, and a Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, I think I'm on that same path. And sort of thinking through that, I sort of fall victim at times to having so many passion projects. So I'm going to try to really kind of talk about a couple of them. And I have to say, my first passion project, I'm a father of two. I have a son who's a sophomore in college, soon to be a junior. I have a daughter who's a 7-year-old. So I think they're project number one, making sure that, you know, we keep them on the right track, which I think we're doing a great job at now. So being a husband and father is like project number one, and being the best I can be in relation to my wife and my kids. But also, I think beyond work, I generally have a passion, particularly of lifting the voices, particularly of Black men, professional Black men. And over the past couple of years, I really had this idea of creating a space to, one, help build my network. And I think it really energizes me to talk with other men who are like-minded, but also find a space to sort of capture the stories and experiences, particularly of those men who serve as an AmeriCorps member or as a staff member. So for the past couple of years, as a passion project, I've really been connecting with those in my network, those outside of my network, and really asking men if they're willing to share their story and experience. And not surprisingly, so many men sort of were willing to sort of opt in. So the past couple of years, I've really been capturing stories via survey, having conversations with a lot of individuals who share this commitment to AmeriCorps and this passion to the communities we serve across the country. So what I'm working on now is launching a podcast. It's really creating this space similar to what you have here, Nikki. It's just a chance to have organic and honest conversations about the experience. And as I sort of alluded to earlier, one of the things that I think, whether through my work or just my experience, I really have an intentional eye of the level of diversity that we see in organizations across the country. And I'll say, honestly, I feel AmeriCorps, there's some room for growth there. So I'm really looking to, in some ways, somewhat serve as a vehicle to highlight the stories of the experiences of men who served as AmeriCorps members, whether staff or as an AmeriCorps members, but also maybe an opportunity to spark the idea of being even more intentional around diversifying both the staff component of AmeriCorps, but also bringing a little bit more intentionality to those who are recruited to be AmeriCorps members. I think in some ways there's this invisible barrier for those who can serve. And I know we all know the quote, like, anyone can serve. I'm sort of cutting it short, the MLK quote, that we all can serve. So I'm just really passionate about that, is what are the things that we can do to make this an equitable opportunity for everyone to be able to serve, regardless of where they come from, what perspectives they bring. I think we all bring value to the service space.
That's so good. I mean, there's so many things that I want to just like lift up with what you're saying and the perspective of everyone can serve. We can think about that in a certain aspect, but AmeriCorps, you don't get paid a lot of money. So, you know, if you don't have the resources, you can't serve. You really can't do it. It's just not something that is within everybody's grasp. And I do agree that AmeriCorps has some growth that needs to happen. I also think they're really on the right track, right? I do think I've seen so many changes, and my time as an executive director for the commissions, looking at like just how we're repositioning ourselves and where the priorities are, is starting to make a change. And so tell me, where do you find these folks? Like, I know that like I'm a LinkedIn addict. Like that's how we connected, right? Like you just thanked me for doing the podcast. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not like yelling into the abyss that somebody's actually listening. And then I was like, yo, you want to be like on the podcast? And you're like, yeah, let's do that. How do you find, I guess, your network, your constituents that you work with?
I think one, starting with my network over the years in AmeriCorps, I've been fortunate enough to really meet some great men. And when this idea sparked, I think that was square one for me, is a chance to sort of reconnect. And as we've all sort of moved through the pandemic and being in this virtual space, I found the need more and more to build that connection. So a lot of it was a little bit of a personal void that I was looking to fill. Having a chance to reach out to folks via LinkedIn and really rebuild that connection. Then it kind of sparked into one other sharing around sort of this project idea of just capturing stories. And I sort of had people reaching out to me and asking would I send the survey link. And then also I would say, just thinking of organizations who have a pretty strong AmeriCorps network. So as you mentioned, just LinkedIn, I'm naturally in LinkedIn. So really doing a little bit of my homework, identifying folks, but more from a standpoint of wanting to build a connection and then sort of segue into this idea. And it's starting to pick up a little traction. So I think in talking to you, our initial conversation, I was talking a little bit about this idea, and you also helped spark this of saying, you have this content, what can you do with it? And so that really sort of lit a fire under me to say that, how do I get a little bit more comfortable maybe being in front of the camera, whatever it may be, because I think there's some great stories to share.
Yeah. Being in front of the comfortable in front of the camera, yeah, whatever. Do a lot of filters.
I'm a behind the scenes type of guy. I just like to stay out the way and do the work. But I think it's a great opportunity just to kind of share some stories. And again, it's amazing to see not only the experience, but also the things that you may take for granted. How many people that we may have encountered during our AmeriCorps experience were small or big, played key parts in getting us to this point. And as I sort of thought about this podcast and thinking of one, the importance of diverse leadership, and also kind of thinking through, how did I get through my AmeriCorps experience? Because as I mentioned, it wasn't easy. You talked a little bit about some of the financial barriers that are there. And I'm one who sort of dealt with those financial barriers, you know, having a family and trying to sort of reset in some ways. I was fortunate enough to have people who were in leadership positions who could identify with my perspective, who put things in place to kind of help me along the way. And I think without those people and not having those type of people who share that diverse perspective and diverse experiences, oftentimes people can sort of fall by the wayside. So I think AmeriCorps has made an abundance of growth, and I often sort of look and see all of the great work that's being done. But I also feel that it's so important to have that diverse representation who can sort of identify with the unique set of needs that each AmeriCorps member has.
So the conversation with Shannon Stober is, my phone is making noises, is fresh in my mind. And one of the things that she said that I actually hadn't heard before was when I asked the big question, I'm going to ask you this question. What do you see for the AmeriCorps alumni network, like on a grand scale? And she said, you know, AmeriCorps alums come in and they support service and they want to protect AmeriCorps and national service. But what if we started creating these workforce development and leadership funnels for people who served in AmeriCorps? I could see something that you're doing as that exact sort of come into this I'm going to call it men's group, right? And let's talk about your service. Let's identify who we are. And then let's funnel these folks into leadership positions to diversify, like, everything that needs to happen. I don't know. Do you see, like, is that kind of your, like, so with my podcast, I have, like, I want to have conversations with AmeriCorps alums, but I have this, like, really big dream that might, that will kind of manifest, and I'm working towards it. But you want to bring these folks together. Where do you want that, like, dream to go? Do you see that as a funnel for the gentleman that you speak with to funnel them into leadership positions? And how can we make that happen?
Yeah, as you were sort of saying that, I think I can definitely identify with the workforce development opportunity that is there, particularly as we talk about the barriers of AmeriCorps. I feel that it makes it a stronger case when you can sort of say to someone after your AmeriCorps experience, you have an interview with such and such organization just based on sort of this experience and the networks that are built there. So I think there's really room for workforce development. So to be honest, Nikki, what I really sort of see this as a way to create a space for those who are a part of the AmeriCorps community to get some insights to the experiences that we have as Black men in this AmeriCorps space. Some of the pain points, I hope there's some vulnerability that is sort of highlighted there. Also some opportunities to highlight some of the additional value that we can bring as Black men to the AmeriCorps space, particularly when there's such a limited presence in the space. So it's really great to see the current CEO of AmeriCorps and sort of what he sort of showcases from just his mere presence as the leader of AmeriCorps. So I really am now just at a place of trying to just create a space where those who are looking to gain some additional insights to what the experience is like for us men who served as AmeriCorps. I think that's the baseline. But ultimately, I think for us to continue to grow professionally, we all need to mentor others. So I'm hoping some of the men through the podcast and through the experience sort of make a commitment and say from this moving forward, assuming they're not already doing it, but I'm sure a lot of the men are already bringing someone else along. I think for me, it was important for someone that I would say use the word tap me to say that they see something bigger than what I was seeing in myself at that time. And there's countless people that I can sort of hang my head on and say that thankful for them to like see that in me. That's why I'm continuing to have the passion I have around service. So very early phases of it, more importantly, just want to have a space where men can just have open conversations about their experience as a part of the AmeriCorps community.
I love it. I lift up all of your work, and I'm very excited for this space. And when I was in South Carolina, we did a survey to see what was the spectrum of the folks that were serving down there. And Black women were like 50% of the core, maybe 60% of the core. Black men were like 0.5. Like, I think there were two folks that were serving, and we're like, if they don't complete their service year, then we're at 0%. Yeah. So it's important. It's huge. And the mentoring aspect of it is so important too. So very excited to see what the outcome of this is going to be, for sure. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about either your upcoming ventures or what you're doing now?
I would also say I definitely have a recruiting background, and I don't want to come off like I'm just trying to pitch myself, but I also work with others who are, in particular, as we talk about recruiting, I work with smaller nonprofits around one, identifying their recruitment strategy, but also bringing on talent to the organization. So doing a little small independent consulting work that I do. So for those who may have interest in working with someone who always brings a diverse lens when we talk about identifying talent, I'm also one who sort of works in that space as well.
So do you work with nonprofit, do you work nationally or just in, where are you?
I'm in the greater Los Angeles area. So generally I work with local nonprofits, whether they're, well, I'll say mom and pop, or there's been a couple clients I've had what may be considered more mid-sized nonprofits. But I think the bigger part for me is really kind of taking a step back and being intentional around that talent strategy. And it's really what my passion is helping organizations who are, one, passionate about the DEI work, and also want to make sure that they're really being intentional around what are the ways in which we highlight opportunities for those from diverse backgrounds. So that's really what my passion is. And I think through AmeriCorps, through various experiences, I feel like that is something that I'm committed to throughout my professional experience and personally. So there are a couple of different ways that I try to have that show up outside of my 9 to 5. So I love what you said earlier. I have a 9 to 5 and I have a 5 to 11 and then
and
on
a
the
Saturday
weekend.
And Sunday.
Yeah.
I have another interview on Sunday. I'm going to ask you a question and it might come across as ignorant, but I'm okay being in that space. So when you mentioned having you work with nonprofit mom and pops making opportunities available, are there, so I'm coming from a white woman privileged position, right? Where are some spaces where if we are trying to diversify our either our workforce or our board, right? Like that's important too, to have different perspectives. Where would you suggest that folks think about like either posting opportunities or making the positions available to folks that don't necessarily have that proximity? Does that make sense in the question that I'm asking?
Makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of it is really taking intentional efforts to remain informed around where are the spaces that are diverse spaces to one highlight opportunity. So I know we're all pretty familiar with some of the larger job boards, but there are a lot of unique niche related boards that are really rooted towards different levels of expertise that really target diverse demographics. So I think when we talk about job postings, just highlighting and bringing to the forefront the abundance of opportunities that we have to really be targeting and where we highlight opportunities. Also think when we talk about community-based organizations or we talk about our historically Black colleges or we talk about Black fraternities and sororities, so really helping to one identify where those resources are. But I also feel there's a level of learning that sort of takes place of understanding where these communities are and sort of what are the ways in which you can start to build a reciprocal relationship. So really part of my strategy is to ensure that this shouldn't be such a transactional approach for us to really kind of build sustained pipelines and sustained relationships. There needs to be some reciprocity. So a lot of my focus in working with nonprofits is understanding that there's a little bit of a give and take. And sometimes that pendulum may shift a little bit, but I think it all starts with just being informed. So I really try to be intentional around identifying where are those spaces and how do I help organizations sort of highlight their opportunities in those spaces.
That makes so much sense. And that just opens up, like, I do communications for my 9 to 5er, and I don't even think about like making our communications available to organizations and spaces where they may not be following our information, right? Like, I haven't even thought about this. You've elevated my 9 to 5 work, and my 9 to 5 work is gonna be very happy about that. That's really important. And I think what I understood from what you just said was to think about those spaces basically that I don't occupy on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Where are those spaces and how can I connect them to my work? Or the work that I do, the podcast, whatever is the thing that I'm, you know, recruiting for or whatever. How can I, but it's not just like, hey, there's this great job opportunity. It's understanding what's in that space that I don't occupy. Is that right? Did I get you right there?
Yeah, I think it was nailed spot on. It's the idea of just removing the transaction. I know we all have our outcomes, but I also know that on the end of the spectrum, that there are outcomes that we're all sort of looking for. So how do we find that commonality and that sort of bond? I think the best way to do it is start with learning. So being willing to step outside of your comfort zone in some ways and engage and learn from communities that you may not naturally sort of connect with. But also, I think on the other end, the idea of being comfortable saying that this maybe there's not an alignment, that person's not or that organization is not willing to meet you halfway. So I think there needs to be some reciprocity and some learning to be at the root of that.
And I'm going to ask you, we should wind down, but this is like personal, professional development for me. So I have another question. How do we enter those spaces without that transactional mindset? Do we step into it with curiosity and first without like, hey, we really want to make these opportunities available to anybody who is qualified and wants to join whatever. Do we open it with curiosity or do we go in first with this is the job opportunity? What do you think?
I think it all starts with a level of curiosity. I think there's a level of curiosity as well as a level of sharing information. But for me, I always lie on the idea of curiosity, but with that backed with a little bit of preparation. So also being a little bit prepared and identifying where are those natural intersecting points. So often when I'm looking at a potential partner, I'm doing my due diligence to know are there conferences coming up? Are there events that are taking place? Are there a member of their staff that's a part of the alumni AmeriCorps community? So really trying to find sort of what are those anchors that are there, but also with that idea of curiosity and being authentic that, you know, this is an effort that we're making organization to be even more intentional around being more available in these spaces. And I think most times people are receptive to that honesty and that candor and that willingness to say that I'm looking to grow and hopefully this partnership allows for us both to grow in that way. So I think it starts with curiosity, but as you know, you always want to be prepared and have a little things in your back pocket that you can bring to help move that conversation, that partnership forward.
Yeah. And I think something that I'll definitely take away is that intersectionality, right? You don't want to just barge into a space that you don't really ever go to and say, yo, I'm here. Like, this is cool. It's like, well, we don't really want you here. You know what I mean? Like, this is not connecting here. So something that kind of hits home for me is that, like, that intersectionality. Why are you going into this space? Why are you trying to engage with folks? So this was, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I learned so much on every podcast. I literally left sure one podcast with a communications plan. It was Jason Rose. And I was like, he was like, yeah, I'm director of communications for this town in Idaho. And I was like, you know, my boss wants a communications plan and I don't know how to do it. He's like, I'll send mine to you. I was like, yes. Right. And then the next week I'm like, I have a communications plan.
That's to be a cool perk. I'm sure just learning and gathering so much great information. I think that's what's amazing about AmeriCorps is that we all go off to do so many great things in various different scopes, but also with that root of being willingness to share and with the community and even those outside of our community. I think that's sort of part of that foundation that's established during your AmeriCorps experience.
Yes. This has been such a rich conversation and I hate to do it, but I'm going to use the term, I'm going to land the plane. I feel like we could go on forever and ever. I want to make sure that you, is there anything else? Cause you said you had a lot of passion projects and this is your time.
I just would say that just thank you for this opportunity. Really enjoy having a space where I can, one, do a little bit of reflection, share a little bit of my thoughts on ways to continue to grow and improve as an AmeriCorps community, to highlight a couple sort of passion projects that I have. And I would love to sort of stay in touch with your community here and always available, whether that's via email or I don't know if it's called X now or Twitter. I'm not really huge in social media, but always can reach out to me on social media platforms as well. I really want to be a part of this community and also continue to grow my community.
Of course, we love that. But I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, what do you see for the larger AmeriCorps alumni group? What would you love for us to like come together and do or be or manifest? I don't know.
I think you maybe talked about this, and I know there's different conferences that take place across the country that's under the AmeriCorps umbrella, but it'll be really cool to have like just a huge alumni sort of conference where you have so many. I think you maybe sparked this idea in our conversation, but I just think how powerful that would be to have, you know, so many people who over the years who've made this AmeriCorps commitment and just to have a chance to build and reflect and share our experiences. But then also, I think a theme of this as well is that I really would love to see the alumni community be even more intentional around uplifting the voices of both of those who are from what consider Black and Brown communities. Like, I really think that there needs to be some intentionality in uplifting those experiences. And I think it brings a great level of value to the AmeriCorps experience, but also will maybe encourage others to take this avenue of service. So I don't know what role we can play as an alumni community, but I think this is a great way, just capturing a diverse set of experiences and creating a platform for us all to kind of share what AmeriCorps has meant to us.
That's awesome. Well, the AmeriCorps Connections podcast is always here to serve that. So happy to engage with you after and, you know, collaborate and think about ways of lifting up all the voices, you know, definitely the diverse voices. So then my final question, and this is a new one, but I like it. It's fun. What is something that you are excited about, either professionally or personally? Like, what are you super jazzed about right now?
Oh, wow. I wasn't ready for that one.
I know. I'm sorry.
What am I excited about? Oh, man. I don't know if you can tell. I'm a pretty even keel guy.
It's so funny. Your energy is like this. And I'm like.
So it's interesting to think, like, what am I excited about? I guess I would say I'm excited for maybe summertime. Like, I'm on this kind of, say, the season of summer. Like, my family and I are in the midst of going through a move from Southern California to Northern California. So I'm a little excited about, you know, making that transition to Northern California, getting maybe a little bit more outdoorsy. I'm not the most outdoorsy, but being in Northern California, it's going to maybe force me to get out of my comfort zone. So I think the most excited is just, I look at things as seasons. Like, I think we all go through seasons in life, and I think I'm going through a new season. So I'm excited about, like, what's that going to mean for me personally, what's that's going to mean for me professionally. I have a practice of, like, writing down gratitude every morning, and I got a lot to be grateful for, but I'm also a little excited about what's next. So I'm just, like, trying to find that balance of being mindful and grateful for what I do have, but also being comfortable and okay, saying I want a little bit more. So I think that's kind of what I'm excited about, a summertime, new season, a little bit of a change, and kind of what's been the norm.
That's so great. It's so fun to move your space and then just, like, lean into that and acknowledge that you're in a different phase of your life, or, you know, that's so great. I love that. I love that you're excited about your Northern California. And so those folks, I grew up in California. Those folks that aren't familiar with California, there's Southern California, there's LA, and then there's Northern California. And we don't talk to each other. Like, folks in Southern California are like, yeah, we're not going all the way up there. And LA, we just try to go around it and then up. But yeah, I get it. This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. If folks wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way? I know we connected on LinkedIn. Are there other platforms that you're on? You mentioned X Twitter.
Yeah, LinkedIn is always a way. I guess X Twitter at Taylor Anton is sort of my handle there. Also can be reached via email. That's ataylor@tumaniconsulting.com. So there's a couple of different ways, but Twitter is always a X Twitter, whatever that may be, or LinkedIn. I think I'm in LinkedIn every day. So LinkedIn could also be a great way to just kind of reach out. And I always enjoy when people just sort of reach out. So I'm be looking forward to some outreach.
Well, I'm looking forward to following up on your passion project and seeing where you're at with your podcast. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And we'll be back next week with another AmeriCorps Alums Connection podcast.